So today we are returning to 1 Corinthians and the topic of spiritual gifts from that passage we've just heard read. So let me pray for us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we pray, asking that you'd give us a true understanding so that we might serve you faithfully and obediently. And we pray this for our good and your glory. Amen. We begin with spiritual things. In chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul begins a new topic, which will cover three chapters, chapters 12 to 14. He writes in 12:1, "Now concerning spiritual things." As we shall see in the weeks ahead, the Corinthians thought that they were spiritual. They thought that they were super spiritual. They were proud and boastful about particular gifts. So the apostle has to sort them out, so to speak. His teaching about spiritual things includes spiritual gifts. We might have questions about these things. What does it mean to be truly spiritual? What are spiritual gifts? How do I know if I have one or multiple gifts? If I do have a spiritual gift, how do I use it? Hopefully today and over the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to answer these questions and more. 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 is an important section of Scripture teaching us about our life together as a church with very practical applications. So here we go. Point one, the mark of true spirituality. There are lots of ideas in our world about what it means to be truly spiritual. We might think in religious terms, you know, monks, for example. Or we might think of wise spiritual teachers, such as the Dalai Lama. Or maybe the truly spiritual person is the New Ager up on the mid-north coast, up in Mullumbimby or something like that. Or the diviner up in the mountains. We stayed in Katoomba for a couple of weeks during the holidays, and just down the street, half a dozen houses or so, we could have knocked on the door and had our cards read. You know, there's a lot of that kind of thing in the mountains. Diviners, tarot readers, fortune tellers, and so on. Maybe we think of the godly Christian. Let's look at what Paul has to say in kicking off this subject in chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, or more literally, now about spiritual things, brothers and sisters. I do not want you to be uninformed, implying that at this point they are misinformed. They've got the wrong idea about what it means to be capital S spiritual. Verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be truly spiritual? The truly spiritual person is your everyday garden variety Christian. You may not feel very spiritual, but you are a Christian who has been converted from idolatry to Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. We know from a previous chapter in 1 Corinthians that idols themselves are nothing, just blocks of gold or silver or wood. But behind idols is demonic power, supernatural evil that wants to keep us from worshipping the true and living God, the God who speaks, not mute idols, idols that can't speak. Worship of the true and living God who speaks requires an intervention by God himself. God the Spirit converts us. He turns us from people who worship anything but God to worshiping Jesus, his Son, acknowledging Jesus is Lord, not just with our lips, but with our lives. The truly capital S spiritual person lives for Jesus. So whilst those mentioned before, those images we saw, look spiritual, they are not truly capital S spiritual. They are not led by the Holy Spirit. Perhaps other darker spirits. They do not confess Jesus is Lord. In fact, they deny Jesus, if not with their words, then their lives. So the starting point for us today is, when it comes to spiritual things, am I a Christian? Is Jesus the Lord of my life, calling the shots, setting the direction, shaping my priorities? If yes, then that is the work of the Holy Spirit. You are truly capital S spiritual person. If not, then conversion is required. You need to ask God to change your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit to truly confess that Jesus is your Lord, not just with your lips, but with your life, putting Jesus in the driver's seat. That is the starting point for true spirituality and for gifts of the Holy Spirit. To point two, diversity of gifts and God. With the foundational work of the Holy Spirit laid, Paul continues, verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Okay, so here in verse 4, we are introduced to Holy Spirit-given gifts. But before we ask the question, what are they? Notice their close relationship with verse 5, service, and verse 6, work. Service and work equals doing something, doesn't it? When we serve, we are doing something to help someone else. When you prepare morning tea, set up, serve, clean up, you are serving us. Ditto for working. When we call a working bee on a Saturday when you would otherwise be doing other things, perhaps more enjoyable things, you give it up to come and work. That is true spirituality. Verse 6 says, God is working in you when you do that. Service and work is doing something by the power of God, often something we would otherwise not be doing if we didn't confess Jesus is Lord. So we might expect that gifts is about doing something for the sake of others, for the sake of the church, by the power of the Holy Spirit, something we wouldn't otherwise bother with if we weren't a Christian. Before we move on, notice in these verses 4 to 6 that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are each active in our life, producing work, service, and gifts through us for the sake of the church. In fact, elsewhere, when it comes to gifts, gifts are given by God the Father in Romans 12 and 1 Peter 4. Gifts are given by Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 4. And then here, the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. I make this point because some over-obsess or over-emphasize gifts of the Holy Spirit, almost to the point of obsession. Our God-given gifts are given by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One of the problems with an obsession about Holy Spirit gifts is that we can quickly become introspective. What do I mean by that? Well, you can get caught up in constantly asking the question, what are my gifts? What are my Holy Spirit given gifts? What's the difference between my natural talents and my gifts? We can even go to the list of Holy Spirit gifts that I'm about to read in 1 Corinthians 12 and try and find my gift in the list. But there are other lists. As I said, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4. What Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 12 is not the comprehensive list of gifts. You don't have to find your gift in this list. They are a particular list of gifts relevant to the Corinthian church and their issues. Furthermore, in introspection, you know, what are my gifts? Misses the point or purpose of the gifts that the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son give us. To point three, the purpose of gifts. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, as I said, we don't necessarily have to see our gifts on this list. These are specific to the Corinthians. Nevertheless, let's go through them and try and make a bit of sense of them. It's hard to work out the precise difference between a message of wisdom and a message of knowledge. Maybe it's something like this. Perhaps it's a conversation at church or in Bible study where someone is able to recall a Bible verse that speaks to a particular situation. That is, their knowledge or their word of knowledge about the Bible, of Scripture, is a gift to the person who is in need. Then someone else speaks up and shares about their own experience of the same or similar situation in their own life. They are able to apply the biblical principle to real life experience. Such a word of wisdom is a gift to the person in need. The Holy Spirit given gift of faith is an interesting one there in that list. We know that every Christian is gifted faith in the Lord Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. However, Paul seems to suggest that there are some in the church who will have a stronger faith by virtue of knowledge and or experience that itself is God-given. And such a person with the gift of faith can be a big help to one who is weak or going through some kind of struggle which makes them shaky in their faith. Gifts of healing to another, gifts of healing. It's actually gifts of healings in the original Greek, plural. Gifts of healings by the Holy Spirit may include the miraculous healing performed by God apart from secondary causes, but would also include healings performed through secondary causes. What do I mean by this? Well, I think it's helpful for us to remember that God is the primary cause of everything. He works everything according to his perfect will and purpose. But often, I would say most of the time, God works through secondary causes. He works through people. People with particular abilities, gifts, if you like, to help his church. Gifts of healings might include doctors and nurses we have amongst us. A couple of times now, I have been in churches when someone has collapsed during church, and let me tell you that preachers are absolutely hopeless in situations like that. We need a doctor, and thankfully in the past we've had a doctor jump into the situation, step in and sort out the issue, or at least look after the person until the ambulance arrived. And it happened here. We had someone collapse, and we had a nurse, an emergency nurse who was here, who was able to help very much so in that situation. What a gift. We have counsellors, psychologists, gifted brothers and sisters who can speak a word of healing when our minds are troubled. The gift of psychological and or spiritual healing, much needed in the church. So gifts of healings can be relatively broad. Miraculous powers is there, verse 10, to another miraculous powers. So I've touched on this already. Whilst God primarily works through secondary causes, he is perfectly capable of working by his own primary cause. And he can work through the prayers of a brother or sister, the prayers of the church together, which many of us know about and can testify to. And I guess even at that point, God is working through secondary causes. The prayers of the saints are powerful and effective to perform the extraordinary. And can I say the most miraculous thing that takes place in this world is the conversion of sinners. As I mentioned before, a person who worships anything or everything but God, even a person who outright says Jesus be cursed, they hate Jesus, can be changed and transformed to confess Jesus is Lord and commit themselves to living their life for him. That is truly miraculous. Conversion is miraculous. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it happens through us when we proclaim the gospel and call on people to repent and believe. God does this miraculous work through us. And some are particularly gifted in this ministry. Thus, the gift of prophecy, which I won't go into this morning. We're going to come to it in the weeks ahead in chapters, particularly chapter 14, the gift of prophecy. Likewise, speaking in tongues. So we'll have to hold out for what we're talking about when we're talking about speaking in tongues for a couple of weeks' time. Ditto the interpretation of tongues. Distinguishing between the spirits is also there. And I don't think this is about finding demons around every corner. But as we shall see in chapter 14, in the context of prophecy, tongues and interpretation of tongues, distinguishing between spirits is about weighing prophecy, determining the good and holding on to it, and determining the evil, that is, what is false and inconsistent with Scripture, and getting rid of it. Okay, so there's the list of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Are you still with me? It's quite long to go through those. I hope you found it helpful to slow down and go through them because, yes, they are gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they don't need to be over-spiritualized or obsessed over. Whatever we do, we mustn't lose sight of their fundamental purpose, which is in verse 7. Verse 7 should be underlined, highlighted, written in bold. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Those last four words, for the common good. Every believer is given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can't confess Jesus as Lord unless we receive the Spirit. We won't live for Jesus unless we are Spirit-filled. Given the Spirit, we desire to serve God, the Father, and God, the Son. And we desire to serve His people, the church. And as we serve, as we work, we exercise a gift or gifts for the common good. Christians can often get caught up in asking the question, what is my gift? What gifts do I have? A better question is, what can I do to serve the church? This church. The global church. What can I see that needs doing? You will see different things than what I see. I will see different things than what you see. If you see a need, and I see a need, and every one of us sees a need, we multiply that by everyone. We see lots of needs, lots of opportunities to do things for the common good. When you do that thing, work that work, serve that service by the power of God and for the sake of Christ and His church, then you will be exercising a gift. What you do will be a gift to the church. You yourself will be a gift to us, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, serve, work, be a gift to us. If you see a need that needs filling, fill it. If there is something you think we need to be doing that we aren't doing, and get started. You might want to let me know about it so that everything can fit together with some kind of neatness or order, chapter 14. But we don't need to be restrictive. We want everyone working, serving, manifesting the Spirit for the common good. As verse 11 says, everyone has something to offer. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one, just as He determines. God gives us just what we need. You. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we only come to you as Father because of the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us through your Son and his work on our behalf, his service of us. We pray that you would so work in each one of us here today to truly confess Jesus is Lord, not just with our lips, but with our life. And that in our service of you and your Son, that we would be indeed a gift to each other. We pray that as we serve one another by the power of your Spirit, that you would grow your church here, grow us, grow the number of us who gather. We pray this so that the way that we live, the way we function as a body, the church here, would bring great honour and glory to your name. Thank you that you work through us, weak and sinful as we are. You work through us to achieve your perfect purposes. We praise you and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.